Blog Talk Radio.
Person could be me, that person could be you. Are you or have you ever been the dirty worker? Have you ever been the dirty worker for somebody? Have you ever been the one to do the dirty, nasty, slimy, unpopular work that somebody that you care about is afraid to do? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? You know, somebody doesn't want to do something because it'll make them unpopular. It won't show them in a positive light. It won't be a good look for them. So what do? They get you to do it. They get you to be the one to do all of that unpopular work, the kind of work that people point at. They don't like to be the bad guy, so they put you up to be the bad guy. But not necessarily you, but somebody else. But they keep their hero status while they have everybody mad at you. They got everybody mad at you. You. So that's how it's going down on the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So let's get it popping.
Urban Therapy with Sun, 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every Sunday morning from 11 o'clock till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday, baby. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh and cry. We argue, bust and fight, go back and forth with each other. Bust it up all crazy. We play on the monkey bars, the swing, push each other up the sliding board. We play in the sandbox, merry-go-round. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see how we fit into this universe and this thing called life. And life is something that we all have to live. And I must live it. So I try to live it rather exquisite. How about you? You know how we do. It's the SUN752 crew. Not really Sun752 crew, but y'all down with Urban Therapy with Sun, and I am too. Two. Like double. And we going to cause some trouble. Actually, we going to work it out, and that's no doubt. Everybody's going to be y'all bright. I give a shout. So when you come through and you're commenting on this thing, I'm going to make sure that I say, I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. What's good, y'all? What's really good? So my big sister's getting into it early. She says, or they may feel it's beneath them. Exactly. That's why you get somebody to do your dirty work. You feel like, I'm too important. You know, I'm going to have to employ you, you stupid good looking. You know, you stupid good looking. Stupid good looking. You know, I'm too important to be killed. I'm too important to be hurt. Get your grandma dynamite ass out of here. Even grandma dynamite, at least she did her own dirty work. But some people always get somebody else to do their bidding. Some people always make sure that they never have the blood on their hands. So it's like hiring a hitman, doing a contract killing. You ordered them dead, but you didn't shoot nobody. You didn't stab nobody. You didn't put your hands on nobody. Nobody saw you at the crime scene. You didn't get caught. You didn't get locked up. Your name is not attached to it. But in all reality, you have been behind the scenes on some Rumpelstiltskin shit. You've been behind the scenes on some Rumpelstiltskin shit, on some old Pinocchio shit. Don't fake the funk or your nose will grow. So we're going to talk about this today in its entirety as we see it. And I have some examples for y'all about notable historical figures that have gotten people to do their dirty work, and they have been successful. In the end, everybody knew what time it was. Everybody knew the time. The time, son. They knew the time. So what we'll try to do is we'll try to relate this to our own lives and try to see, have we been the employer or have we been the employee of the dirty work? Have we been the employee of the dirty work employer, or have we been the employer of the dirty work employee? How many of y'all are able to handle?
Oh, damn, I thought I had pockets here. I got pockets.
How many of y'all have been able to handle being in unpopular situations? How many of y'all have been able to handle not being the good guy all the time? Some people honestly can't handle it at all. They don't do well with that. They always got to be that guy. They have to be that person that love and praise and admire and be like, yeah, such and such is 100. They keep such and such, that's my man, 100 grand. They would never, never, ever, ever take the stand. They would always stand on their full 10 toes. They would never be blaming you for them hoes. You know how the story goes, and that's why I chose this one to be on my side. I got pride. And they stand by everything they do and come to find out they was as messy as you. You find out really after it's too late and after you've been locked out and locked up and they close the gate and you say, how did I get fooled? Because you was doing all that goddamn dirty work, you damn fool. It happens.
The dirty worker and the boss. I mean, when you really think about it, it's a hell of a phenomenon, because why would you do somebody's bidding like they're paying you? I mean, really, a lot of us won't do somebody else's bidding if they are paying us. A lot of us will be like, nah.
I don't care how much you're paying me, or even if you or whether you are paying me or not. I dance to the beat of my own drum,
and I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Dirty work at your job, management. A lot of times, management hates to be. Certain managers hate to be the bad guy. So what do? Instead of leading with integrity, instead of saying, well, listen, we need to get this job done and we need to do it this way because I think it's the best way and this is how we're going to implement it. So I need you to do this, that, and the third, and I need you to do that and this blah, 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 and report to me when it's done. Instead of doing that, they'd be like, well, you know, it's not really what I want to do, but such and such, you know, is our boss, and they say that that's the way they want it and blah, blah, blah. And you know what the problem is with that? Even if you're telling the truth, whoever the orders come from is the person that people are going to have beef with. It's not going to be the person behind the scenes. And they may actually be the ones, you know, giving the orders, sending down the instructions. But just like when we were slaves on the plantation, we didn't deal with master, the owner of the plantation, directly. In history, they try to make it look like that's the way it was, but it wasn't, my brothers and sisters. We didn't have direct contact with master. We had direct contact with the overseer. He was the one who talked to us, who instructed us, who whooped our ass. Massa in the big house, yeah, he might have came down and got his rape on when he felt like it and stuff like that, but he wasn't who we reported to. He was rich. He was making moves with whatever we produced on the plantation. The overseer did all the dirty work. You don't believe me? Why do you think that we speak slang? Why do you think that we talk with slang and like Jamaicans and all Caribbeans, why they talk like the way they do in their Patois accent? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Irish, who were like the niggas of England, or should I say the niggas of the British, they were the direct overseers. So when you listen to Jamaicans or Barbadoans or Bermudians, whatever, or the Virgin Islands and all that, when you listen to them talk, or even the Spanish settlers, like the Spanish speaking or Patois speaking islands like Cuba, like Dominican Republic and all of that, they were taught the language by Irish overseers. It's just the truth. That's why we have the slang that they have in the Caribbean, and that's why we speak the type of broken English that we speak. English overseers doing the dirty work of massa. Massa may have spoken proper English because he had money and prestige, and he was educated a lot of times, way more educated than the overseer was.
that Bomba Clock, exactly. The overseers, they were high school dropouts. They didn't know shit. And they teaching you what they don't know. So what little life experience that they taught and whatever language or vernacular they had, they taught to us. Doing the dirty work of Massa. Massa ain't get his hands dirty with us. He was getting money, selling cotton, selling tobacco, selling whatever goods and services that we provided for free. The overseer was the dirty worker. That was the dirty worker, y'all. Hey, you can look it up. You can Google it. You can research it. We didn't have, you know, let these movies tell it and let us tell it amongst ourselves like we were there or like we really understood. You would think we had direct contact with Massa. We didn't. We had direct contact with the overseers. Massa wasn't one of those freedom riders or one of those cats who went out catching slaves that ran, that tried to run to the north. That wasn't Massa doing that. Overseers, bounty hunters, who later became police and U.S. Marshals. Listen to this. The overseers were the first police. Doing the dirty work, just like the cops right now do the dirty work of the government. They have to get their hands dirty with us crime-ridden niggas. Do you understand what I'm saying? Actual facts. Stacey Yvette White. What up, Stacey? Stace holding it down for the D all day, every day. 365, 12 months a year, 52 weeks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my brother Ansel Jones is all up in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? Be more stand up all day, every day. Hey. You know how they play. Thanks for coming through, y'all. I appreciate me some, y'all. And make sure that y'all share that show, man. I should be out of Facebook jail today. Tonight, though. Not till tonight. I violated at night. So somewhere around 9 o'clock or some shit like that, I should be out of jail. So I can't share the show yet. I need y'all to hit that like button too. Make sure you hit the like button. Urban Therapy with Sun Show, you know. All right. So, as we talk about the dirty worker and the boss, we all have friends that do little slimy shit, grimy shit, little nut shit, little cornball shit, little backhanded, underhanded shit. We all have friends who do that shit. And one of the craziest parts about it is we all have friends who do that, but we all have friends who have nothing but contempt for the consequences of their actions. So they always have another best friend who they get to do the dirt with them or for them. Like on some butch. On the Little Rascals, what was his sidekick's name? I can mouth it, but I couldn't spell it or really know what the fuck he was. It was like wine. Hey, wine. What the fuck was his name? Was he saying worm? Wine. I don't know. Butch, the bully Butch on the Little Rascals. Let's Google that. Let's get to Google. We will Google. Hey, you say we go Google. Hey, side, we go Google. We go Google. Yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
Who was Butch's sidekick on the Little Rascals?
Sidney Kibrick. According to Hanna-Barbera Wiki, fandom, Sidney Kibrick is a former child actor from the Our Gang series of theatrical shorts.
Oh, shit.
He was known for playing the voice of Butch's sidekick, Woin. In the Little Rascals animated series, he was voiced by Julie McWhirter Dee.
His name was Woin. So I actually heard that shit right. Yo, man. W-O-I-M. Have y'all ever heard a name like that? I haven't. I've never known anyone named Woin, and I didn't know what the fuck he was saying. You're Woin. Woin. Yeah, Woin. W-O-I-M. Woin. Woin did the dirty work of Butch. But Woin would warm up the bully, and so Butch could finish him off. Why was Woin the sidekick? Why did he do the bidding of Butch? Could Butch beat everybody? Nobody could beat Butch. What made Butch so special? What made Butch so tough? His name was Sidney Kibrick, born July 2nd, 1928, in Minneapolis. Ain't that about a bitch? In the Twin Cities, baby. Woin. So, no, I still thought he was saying Wally. He was saying Woin. W-O-I-M. Woin. Woin. Woin, Carol Chamberlain says, the overseer was one step above the slave. Yeah, but we still had to call the overseer master. He wasn't no master. He wasn't no real master. He had no power. He was just a poor white trash motherfucker with a job. Basically, a supervisory job or security. But guess what? That's where they get the mentality today that no matter what level they are, they're better than us. That's part of exactly where it came from, directly. Like, no matter what, I'm better than these niggas, though. I'm better than these niggas, though. Emily says, no, I don't want Chad to leave. Chad ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Chad, bless Black Chad. Black Chad in the house, y'all. Black Chad in the house. Hebrew Israelite. Okay. Carol said, Emily, Chad better stay around because O going to jail again. You know what? You be hurting my feelings, Mom. You be killing me. You're killing me. You're killing me. You're killing me. You're killing me. I still says, Facebook is one of those social media big houses. Carol Chamberlain says, Spanky? Butch, remember Butch liked Darla. Darla was always switching between Butch and Alfalfa. Come to find out, in real life, Butch, like Alfalfa was the real thug. In real life, Alfalfa was the real thug. You ever see the story of Alfalfa and how he died and all of that? Alfalfa was a thug. He was a thug. Chick Couch Hammond says, no, oh, just stating facts. I'm going to watch what I say. Hopefully that works. Make sure that y'all hit that like button, man. Hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. It's going down. It's going down. Urban Therapy with Sun Show. The dirty worker and the dirty worker and the boss. Well, who chooses who gets to do the dirty work? Who chooses who is instructed to do the dirty work and who decides who is going to be the boss? It's not all that hard to figure out who's going to do what. In every situation, there is a dominant personality and one person that's willing to submit to the domination. Not necessarily be dominated, but there's always a person who will take the lead and the other person that's willing to be led. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that just because you allow yourself to be led that you're weak. A lot of people believe that anybody who isn't a leader is a follower, and anybody who's a follower is weaker than the leader. Well, we know that there have been plenty of leaders that were way weaker than their followers. A follower, being a follower, actually takes a certain amount of strength, because you have to exercise self-control in a lot of situations, because you may be in situations where you really don't believe or think that it's a good idea to do what you're doing, but you are able to channel a lot of your negative energy to be able to soldier on in a positive direction. Like, just because you're not a leader does not mean that you follow somebody into the pits of hell and shit. It don't mean that you're going to drink the Kool-Aid like they did, like 900, almost 1,000 people did in Guyana for Jim Jones. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Carol says, oh, yes, he was. Didn't he die a horrible death? Yeah, Alfalfa was on some shit. Let's see. How did Alfalfa from the Little Rascals die?
According to History.com, on January 21st, 1959, Switzer and a friend went to the Mission Hills home of Moses, Bud, Stilts, to collect a debt Switzer believed he was owed. A fight broke out, during which Stilts shot and killed Switzer.
Yeah. Alfalfa was on some other shit. And it looks like Alfalfa was born in Paris. He was French? Looks like he was. He was a Leo. Born August 7th, 1927. He's that about a bitch. Yeah, man. Wait a minute. This shit is crazy. Hold on. His name was Carl Switzer. Alfalfa. Hold on. Interesting facts about women. He got killed in 1959. Okay. Let me see. Okay, he actually stopped doing Our Gang and whatever in 1940 when he was 12. Damn. His role after leaving the series was a co-star in 1941 comedy regular Fellas, blah, 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 blah. I don't know why I want to hear that shit. In personal life. In early 1954, Switzer went on a blind date with Diane Collingwood, an heiress of grain elevator empire, Collingwood Grain. Collingwood had moved with her mother and her sisters in California in 1953 because her sister wanted to become an actress, and Collingwood got along well in Las Vegas. In 1956, with his money running out and Diantha pregnant, his mother-in-law offered him a farm near Prairie, Kansas. Their son, Justice, Lance Collingwood Switzer, they divorced in 1957. Okay, wait a minute. Switzer had agreed to train a hunting dog for Moses Samuel Stilts. The dog was lost, having run after a bear, and Switzer offered $35 reward for its return. A few days later, a man found the dog and brought it to the Radio City Bar where Switzer had worked. Switzer paid the man $35 and bought him $15 worth of drinks. Several days later, you know, $15 worth of drinks in that day? God damn! Several days later, Switzer and his friend, a 37-year-old unit still photographer, decided that Moses Stilts to repay Switzer the reward money for the dog. Shortly between 7 p.m., January 21st, 1959, Switzer and Piatt went to Riet Corrigan's home in Mission Hills with Stills, was staying to collect $50, $400 today. $50 was like $400 today. They felt Stills owed Switzer. Stills later testified before the coroner jury that Switzer had banged on the front door saying, "Let me in or I'll kick in the door." Once inside, he and Stills began to argue. Switzer said, "I want $50. You owe me now, and I mean now." When Stills refused to hand the money over, the men began to fight, and Switzer allegedly struck Stills with a glass dome clock, which caused him to bleed from his left eye. Stills retreated to the bedroom and returned with a .38 caliber revolver. Switzer grabbed the gun, resulting in a shot being fired that struck the ceiling. Switzer forced Stills into a closet, although Stills had regained his revolver. Switzer allegedly pulled a knife and screamed, "I'm going to kill you." Fearing Switzer was about to attack, Stills shot him in the groin. Switzer suffered massive internal bleeding and was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. The shooting was judged to be self-defense. Well, I ain't going to go in the morning. Anyway, Alfalfa, you know, he had a little thug in him. Got shot up. Bow! 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 Medita Coleman says, "I'm all right with not being popular." Yeah, but you've never been unpopular. But maybe you could try something new. You always had a lot of friends. A lot. So it is what it is. Until Joe says, some dirty workers want to be 1B, 1A, is going to see them as equal. What does that mean? Some dirty workers want to be 1B, 1A. Because maybe you can explain that. I don't get it. Carol Chamberlain says, maybe that's why he was so prissy. Only on that show. He was a young boy, though. You know what I mean? He stopped doing this shit when he was 12. Like, what the fuck? It's crazy. Shirley Sher, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley Sher, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's going on, Shirley Sher? And Cherry is in the house. It's Cinderella, Dana Jane. Well, it's the woman, Dana Jane, with fame. Cinderella, Dana Jane. Well, it's the woman, Dana Jane, with fame. So, so, you know, when somebody is always doing it, all right, let's talk about the person that does the dirty work for a second. Let's take a few minutes to talk about people who are willing to do the dirty work. What makes you ride for a person, do things for a person, look out for a person, cover up for a person, you know, keep somebody's secrets or whatever, and even take the blame on some scapegoat shit for somebody? What makes you do that for somebody that you're not all that close to? Or is it a situation where you would only do that for people that you're close to? Now, when it comes to certain people who do dirty work, sometimes it doesn't even seem like they're all that close to the person that they're doing the dirty work for. It's just that the person that they're doing the dirty work for seems to be able to use them for whatever they need them to do, as if they're paying them, but they're not paying them. Maybe they're paying them attention, but they're not paying them anything like money. So you have to ask yourself, why would you do this? But people do it. Oh, I never said such and such. They said it. Oh, I didn't do this, that, and the third. They did it. All of us were children, and we all had times when we had to ask our parents or some adult for something that we wanted,
that we were scared to ask for. Y'all remember? It could have been some sweets, cakes, cookies, pies, juice, whatever, candy. And we were scared to ask. We were scared to ask. So we may have gotten somebody that we thought was in better favor with that adult to ask. Like, well, I know my mom won't say no if I ask, but if you ask, she'll say yeah. So can you ask? And it happened every time. Now, that's a bad thing for a parent to, that's a bad position for a parent to put themselves in, where it's like your cousins can ask something from your parent that your parent won't give to you. So they'll give to your cousin this and that, but they won't give it to you. It almost looks like they don't like the child, they like their niece or nephew. And of course, that drives a wedge between the kids. But what it, not only does it build resentment from children, but it also can turn you into somebody who gets somebody else to do their dirty work all the time. Like, I'm not in good with my parents. I'm not in good with my mom or my dad, but my cousin is. So anytime I want something, I get my cousin to spend the night, or I get my cousin to come over. I get my cousin to ask. And 9 times out of 10, or sometimes 10 times out of 10, my dad or my mom will give my cousin what they want, but they won't give it to me. Always got to go through this bullshit. My behavior always comes into question. My school behavior always comes into question. Whether I did my chores or whatever always comes into question. Whether I've been good comes into question, but not my cousin. My cousin could get all F's in school. They still get whatever they want from my mom or my dad. So it's tough. Grits and Wavy. Wavy and Grits, what's going on? Thanks for coming on through. Yo, use the sh. I use the sh. Oh, Cherry says, Carol, I'm so much better, but my smell and taste is still not the same. I just want that back. It could be a while for that, Cherry. Some people say that they, I ain't going to get into that, but it could take a while. Hold your head, though. You got to hold your head. For real. You got to hold your head, though. Grits and Wavy. Wavy and Grits. She says, parents know too much about their own children. I know my little Bobby is bad as hell. My nephew Tony is a good boy. In reality, Tony just hasn't been caught doing the bullshit yet. I see what you're saying there. Grits and Wavy and Grits. I see what you're saying. But, you know, you said that your nephew Tony is a good boy, but he just hasn't been caught. So is he good or is he bad on the low? Is it a situation? Is it a little situation where you won't let your son Bobby play with his Xbox, but when Tony comes over, you let him play with the Xbox? Is that the situation with Grits and Wavy? Let me find out. And she says, a lot of people are stricter on their own kids. But if you're going to be strict on your kids, you got to be strict on your nieces and nephews. There can't be a separation of church and state. Or should I say, a separation of cuz and state. Cousins don't have the right, or shouldn't reserve the right, to grow up differently. Cousins are really just extensions of siblings. Your cousins are often like your brothers and your sisters, sometimes closer than them. So you got to make sure that cousins, that your nieces and nephews, you know, make sure that they on par with your kids. He says, I don't know. I was just giving a random scenario. I don't have any children or nephews. What now? You just made me etch a sketch this whole
My everything I just said, I gotta etch and sketch that shit. Look. This is just what I've seen in these streets, though. Yeah, you funny as hell. Yeah, you funny as hell. What the? Yo. Yo. Hey, yo. I don't know. I was just giving a random scenario. I don't have any children or nephews. This is just what I've seen in these streets. Yo, I'm done. Yeah. All right. Cherry says, my mom's friend, her daughter and I grew up like cousins. I never forget she had a beating, and I can hear her mom saying, you have to be more like Dana. This shook me for life that sparked. This shook me for life that sparked hatred. I could see how that would cause hatred. That ain't cool. That ain't cool. Listen, your kids gotta come first. I don't care. I mean, everybody knows their children, and you because you raise your children, so your children are just an extension of whoever you are and whatever you've done. Your energy and your tutelage is going to affect them in a certain type of way. But once you start making your children feel like they come behind their cousins or friends or whatever, that's not a good look. That is not a good look. So I'm not saying that you should defend your children when they're dead wrong. But I am saying that you have to defend your children when they're dead wrong. I'm not saying that you should, you know, advocate for your children when they haven't been doing right. But what I'm saying is you got to support your children even if they haven't been doing right. You can't, like, what that girl's mom said to her, you got to be more like Dana. She shouldn't have done that. But parents don't know everything, and they have to learn. But that ain't a good look at all. That's not a good look now, no, no. No, no, no. But you live and you learn, son. Live and you learn, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's a tough situation to put somebody in. But yeah, like I said, you live and you learn. It's not a goodie, son.
So, as we proceed to give you what you need,
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm taking a look at these. I bought these lights, and I haven't started to use them. And they caught my attention. I'm thinking like, okay, if I lower them down more, and because they don't really fit in my space. They don't fit in the studio right. Because they like these photographer's lights. They're photographer's lights. So you use them when you're taking still photos or whatever to make sure that you have proper lighting. They're good. They're good. Y'all want to see?
Wait. Hold on. Let me lower it.
Lower this part. So you can like direct it. You can direct the light wherever you want it to go. Y'all seen these, right? You know what I mean? I buy the equipment, y'all. I buy equipment and shit, you know. So the thing is, the stand,
the stand is, so I can't put this, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out, son. Bad. God, go figure it out. Figure it out. Figure it out. Get it figured out. What up? Howdy. Look who's here. Look who's back. Guess who's back? All right, all right. I got you. I got you. You're eligible for some love. No, I still says at grits. The things you see while playing spades. Oh, man. And, no, it's a, wait. Otto Jones says, the show has a budget. Yeah. The show has a budget. Yeah. Yeah. It's all good though. So yeah, man, but you know, as we talk about like how we get somebody to do our bidding or we get somebody to do the dirty work or whatever. And I always wonder if the person who for a person, do they ever ask them, like, why do you always get me to do this, that, and the third? Or do they already know? Or have they had that discussion and they've agreed that, listen, man, you know, I can't do this for whatever reason. Because I don't know if a person would be able to be honest enough with somebody else to be able to tell them, well, yeah, I need you to do it because I'm scared to do it. Or because, you know, I'm just going to keep it a buck with you. I'm a little bitch and I can't stand not being that dude, that John, that number one. Gotta be the man, son. Some people can handle it, some people can't. A lot of people can't handle it. They can't handle it. But can you? Are you the employer of the dirty worker or are you the dirty worker? Not necessarily. I'm not necessarily saying that you have to be either one. You could be the person that has contempt for both of them. Like, I'm not doing your dirty work. I got enough dirt that I have to take care of myself, but I'll clean up my mess. Any messes that I make, I'll clean them on up. Somebody give me a dustpan. I need that dustpan inside my hand. Somebody pass me that broom, and I'm going to get this room cleaned up real soon. And somebody give me some Fabuloso. Make sure you give me some rags. Hey, yo, I'm going to make sure everything gets wiped down. Give me some disinfectant right now. Yeah, I'm going to clean up my mess, make sure that I don't cause nobody else no stress. But sometimes you got to get somebody else to do what you can't do. That's resources. That's true. But when you do it all the time, that's a pattern that you are developing. And no, I'm not down with that every single day. What the hell is going on with you? That's how you play, and that's where you stay, and that's what you say. Well, I'm going to say something else. Yo, check it now. Me and you is down, and we've been brown since the first down. You not a clown, but I'm not the one to do your bit. I do it one or two times, but yo, I'm sitting on the top of the world. Me and my girl, you know the one that wears the rap and the girls. But, yeah, everything is going to be okay. Hey, hey, hey. Only if we make it that way. Doing someone's bidding, baby. Doing someone's bidding. I don't know, son. Yeah. But
But we see this type of shit all the time. We see this kind of shit all the time. I said, Joe says, I started a riot when I showed the new supervisor didn't know their job. You got strips. You got strips for decoration. Or are you saying you got stripes for decoration? Don't know how to do their job. Yeah, people really don't like it when you point out that they don't know how to do their job. It can get ugly. It can get quite ugly. It can get quite ugly. Quite ugly. Quite ugly. But hey. Still, you know, when we do somebody, do dirt for somebody else. Maybe we have people who do dirt in our family. We were just talking about the whole cousin scenario, but it might have been a situation where one of your parents got other people to, one parent makes the other parent look bad all the time. So you might have a mom and a dad that play the good cop, bad cop shit. Your mom don't know how to say no. Or your dad don't know how to say no. In two-parent families, let me ask you, in two-parent families, they have a parent. Which one seems to be willing to be the bad guy in the scenario the most? Which one? Y'all let me know. Which one, from your experience and two-parent families, which one has been more willing to be the bad guy in the parent situation? They don't mind being the one that says no all the time, or the one that makes the hard decision. No, you can't stay out that late. No, you can't spend the night over such and such house. No, we can't go here, there, and whatever, whatever, whatever. Which one? Is it normally the mom, or is it normally the dad? Which one? What y'all say? What you say? Which one? T. Carrie Wright says the mom. The mom is normally willing to be the bad guy, huh? Okay. Alcel Jones says, I learned my place real quick. I hear that. Alcel Jones says, my write-ups came early and often. T. Carrie Wright says, I have contempt for both. I get it. I hear you on that. I hear you on that. You know what I'm saying? I hear you on that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Good kitty, nice kitty, fun kitty. Good kitty, nice kitty, fun kitty. All right.
Cheryl Hudson says, I think the mom.
Let me find out that in two-parent households, the mom is willing to be the one to be like, nah. Nah, I don't give a fuck. But you know what? That might be true, because ain't it normally somebody's mom that's claiming that that the problem with parents today is they too busy trying to be their kids' friend? Ain't it normally moms that you hear saying that? I'm not sure if I've ever heard a dad say that. No, the problem with these parents today is they too busy trying to be their kids' friends. Maybe y'all have heard men say it. I'm not sure if I've heard a man say that. New York Pat, what's going on, Pat? How you doing? NY Pat is in the house. Good to see me. Stop you. Thanks for coming on through. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen you come through in a minute. That's good to see you. Very, very good. Cherry says, mom, of course, because she does most of the disciplining. And that, I think that's a condition of having so many single-parent families, where the mom is the head of the household.
So, of course, we're going to see more of that in those situations. But that's why I said in two-parent situations. In two-parent situations.
TK, right, talking about something. My mom is like, I'm not boo-boo the fool.
Who is this boo-boo the fool? Why is boo-boo such a fool? Who is this boo-boo, and why are they so foolish? Especially when everybody knows.
My mom has never said, I'm not boo-boo the fool. And now y'all got me wondering why. Why didn't my mama say that? But she didn't. She ain't had no problem disciplining and doing the dirty work. But my dad was, I guess it depends on whose children, which child you're talking about. But I know my dad don't like to do a lot of the dirty work. He don't like to do a lot of the unpopular work. That's just not his thing. My mom was like, I don't really like to be the bad guy either. But I'd be goddamn if I'm going to let that shit go on. Y'all tripping. Y'all going to bring this whole household down. Gritty Wavy says, let's also mention mothers who don't let their sons grow up. Meanwhile, they stay breathing down their daughter's neck. Oh, here you go with that shit. Here you go with the, okay, black mothers love their sons more. Okay, black sons love, I mean, okay, black mothers love their sons more. Okay, black mothers love their sons more. Okay, black mothers love their sons more. Is that true? Are you sure? I see people always talk about the black moms. They let their son do anything, and I'm. But I know a lot of situations where it's not true. They be giving their black son the business. Ooh. And when it's bad, it's really bad. You ever see a black man who don't love his mom, but don't know his dad? Don't love his mom, don't know his dad. Don't love his mom, don't love his dad. Don't know his mom. I'm sorry. Don't love his mom, don't know his dad. Don't love his mom, don't know his dad. Don't love his mom, don't love his, don't know his dad. It's kind of sad. Narcil says, new nickname for us old heads. Boo boo the poo. Boo boo the poo. Boo 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 boo. I ain't get treated better than none of my sisters though. And I was the youngest and the only boy in that household. Sure, we all got favor, but shit. Them heifers, was Dita still here? Them heifers, they when they was growing up, that's when the money was there. I came during the struggle. In the great recession 80s and shit. The great recession 80s. Cheryl Hudson says, in two-parent families, I still say the mom. Even if the dad has the final say, he knew to back mom or else. Sounds right. Sounds right. Ansel Jones says, the 70s, 80s, and 90s had two-parent homes. No, they didn't. 2000s, we let baby father in the picture on TV. Oh, yeah, on TV, yeah. It was definitely, well, I don't know. Because on What's Happening, there wasn't no dad in the house. Not on What's Happening, it wasn't. You find out they kept it real in What's Happening. And you know What's Happening, that was supposed to be set in California, in L.A. Kristen Wavy says, will your sister say the same? Probably not, but their opinions are biased. I know, like I said, in the 80s, that's when I was a teenager, that's when the struggle was heavy. It was real. In the 70s, the money was plentiful. I was just a little boy. I guess everybody has their own perspective.
But I mean, in my opinion, I'm my mom and my dad's favorite. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I've mentally eliminated the competition. Like I don't care. I don't care what the statistics say or the actual facts. Don't bother me with facts. I'm the fucking favorite and I'm the best too. Y'all corny. Cornballs. Y'all ain't got no show. Anyway. Cherry says that Cheryl. Yes, in most two parent households, mom is still the disciplinarian. Okay. Kristen Wavy says they somewhere right now talking about how you got away with everything. No, they not. We can put them stories on the table. See, here's how this went down, Kristen Wavy. My two sisters, first of all, my older sister is 4 years older than me, 3.5. And my oldest sister is 7.5 years older than me. So 7.5, 8, whatever. So we were spaced 3.5 years apart. And my sisters were wild. They wasn't wild like hoes, but they were wild as in believing that they were smarter than my parents. And they did little slick shit and all of that. I wasn't about that life. And I'm not bullshitting. I respected my parents only. So I wouldn't do shit. Like my two sisters, they smoked weed growing up. I didn't do that. My two sisters drank growing up. I didn't do that. So you're going to instantly see the separation. I'm not on the porch, you know, rolling up J's and smoking them, thinking that my mom can't smell the shit. Or in the crib, in the room, you know how in the old houses, the vents, and you can hear people talking on the first and second floor if you're on the third floor, because if they was in a room that was connected to those same heating vents, you can hear the conversation. Y'all remember that? So if you eat on the second floor, guess where you can smell it? On the third floor. And that same room that's above there. See, they did that kind of shit. Sneaking niggas in the crib. I didn't do that. I wasn't sneaking nobody in the crib. I wait till y'all go to sleep and get my little quickie on, like, all right, or wait till all of y'all go to work or school. And since I was the last man standing in the crib, anything like that, but my sisters, they ain't had no respect. They ain't respect the crib. They respect the parents, but they ain't respect the crib. They thought everything was theirs. And that's just the truth. Like, my mom, look, listen, we can call my mom on the phone right now. She'll tell you, like, nah, oh, you didn't do shit in the house that Dita and Shell did. You just didn't. And I didn't. I watched them like, y'all trife. Y'all chicks is trife, man. Y'all ain't going out like that. That's why I moved. When I was about to do my dirt, I moved out when I was in. Never came back. The chauffeur pulled off and he never came back. So, yeah, regardless of what they say, the history is documented. But what they didn't do, I'll give them this. What they didn't do is they didn't get nobody else to do their dirt for them. They was dirty on their own. I'll give them that. We were not raised to have somebody do our bidding for us or be our fall guy. That's what they didn't do. That's what I didn't do. You talking about my opinion is biased. If you knew me, you would know. Like, nah. He'd tell it straight down the line. Like, for what? That's why I had the least amount of ass whoopings in the house. But every ass whooping I got, I deserved, and so did they. They just ran up the score. Anyway, man, we about to get on about it. But yo, I mean, when we talk about you know, dirty worker and the boss, the dirty worker, that dirty worker and the boss, like, yo, historically, all right, you take like remember J. Edgar Hoover, the leader of the FBI? He was gay. He was gay on, I mean, you could say he was gay on the low, but everybody who came in contact with him knew he was gay. But when he died, first of all, he was very hard on gays. He was the one who implemented the whole no gays in the military thing. That was him. This little faggot ass. He was the one who said no gays in the military. So he worked hard to overshadow or cover up his status. He worked hard to overshadow and hide his status. So when he started to get sick and he was getting ready to die, he knew that that shit was going to come out. Because he had surveillance and papers on everybody or whatever, and that's how come he was able to keep his shit on the low. Everybody was scared to tell on him because he knew dirt. He had dirt on everybody. So all politicians and world leaders and shit like that, he had the dirt on them. He had the pictures on them. He knew what women they messed around with and whether they were on drugs and if they had dealings with people they ain't had no business having dealings with. He knew. You know, the FBI was treacherously built under J. Edgar Hoover, but he made his administration staff do his bidding as far as covering up for him, and they did it. So all of his dirt, all of his homosexual activity and all of that, they got rid of that shit for him. They kind of showed a little bit of it in the movie. About Hoover. The movie is called Hoover. But yeah, he was openly gay in public, but privately, he was closeted. Yeah, kick that around. Like, don't you mean he was privately straight? I mean, publicly straight, but privately closeted? Not really the way it was. So anyway, because behind the scenes, he was married, and I don't know if he had children or not, but he took his boyfriend everywhere. But his administration staff had the task of keeping his shit secret while making sure everybody else gets fucked over, told on, extorted, and blackmailed, and controlled. Hell of a phenomenon. Roy Cohn. Oh, I had looked up Roy Cohn earlier. Roy Cohn, the one that Donald Trump was always saying, "Where's my Roy Cohn? Where's my Roy Cohn?" Well, if y'all know y'all American history, y'all know Senator McCarthy. Senator McCarthy, who said that he said he had a list of people of politicians that were known communists or had dealings with the Communist Party or whatever, and nobody ever asked to see that list. So he never put out names of people on that list. But Roy Cohn was the lawyer who protected him. And he protected a lot of information for Richard Nixon, Richard M. Nixon. So, yeah, he was a top political fixer. A top political fixer. For all we know, how do we know Oprah? Yeah, Oprah Winfrey. How do we know Gayle King is not doing the dirt for her? How do we know that? Taking the brunt of the criticism. You know, people have long suspected that they were lovers or whatever, but Oprah stays clean in the eyes of everybody, while Gayle, it's like, You know, some people probably think you make it Oprah look gay.
Word. So hold on. And Shanana. Wait a minute. Let me see. Okay. Arcee. Okay. Yeah, and he represented Donald Trump before. 1971, a businessman, Donald Trump, moved to Manhattan, where he became involved in large construction projects. In 73, Justice Department accused him of violating the Fair Housing Act in 39 of his properties. The government alleged that Trump's corporation quoted different rental terms and conditions and made false no vacancy statements to African Americans for apartments it managed in Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Representing Trump, Cohn filed a countersuit against the government for $100 million, asserting that the charges were irresponsible and baseless. The countersuit was unsuccessful. Trump settled the charges out of court in 1975, saying he was satisfied that the agreement did not compel the Trump Organization to accept persons on welfare as tenants unless as qualified as any other tenant. The corporation was required to send a biweekly list of vacancies to the New York Urban League, a civil rights group, and give the league priority for certain locations. In 1978, the Trump Organization was again in court for violating terms of the 1975 settlement. Cohn called the new charges nothing more than a rehash of complaints by a couple of planted malcontents. Trump denied the charges. So when people try to say that Donald Trump wasn't racist or that he's not, but they want to ignore this shit. It happened. He lost. People act like Trump has never lost in court or whatever, or, you know, he's such a winner. Well, he lost that. He had to settle. And Roy Cohn was part of that, doing the dirty work for Donald Trump. I guess this was when Donald Trump was younger and didn't have the voice that he has now, because in 1971, Trump was what? Let's see, if he's 74 now, that means that he was born in what? 46? So 71, he was like, in the 20s. He was in his 20s. Late 20s. So he's, motherfuckers act like, you know, like this cat never did shit. So you want to talk about all the shit that Biden did in with his racist agenda, but they don't. I'm not sure if he's ever been convicted of any crime involving. All right, man. It is what it is. Cheryl Hudson, my voice is out of sync with the video. Oh, I don't know. We're going to do these birthday shout-outs, though. That's what we gwan do right now. We're going to do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. December 6th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and make it up to them special because they are special because they are special because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are.
R-E-S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Myrna Rodriguez. Myrna Rodriguez. Turning 55 years old today. Deuce Nichols. Happy birthday to you, Myrna. And also Ingrid Peguero, turning 39 years old today. And Audrey Jones, turning 41 years old today. And Ashley Coronado, turning 29 years old today. And Pratty Leisha Artista, turning 30 years old today. Fresh in your grown days. And Nadine McKenzie, turning 45 years old today. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah, what's up now? And Latira, turning 36 years old today. And my girl, Lynette Fontroy. My girl, Lynette Fontroy, turning 49 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Lynette. And Darlene Kendrick, turning 53 years old today. And Leonard Bryant, turning 47 years old today. And my girl, the family meeting, Annette Long is in the house. My girl, Annette Long. Happy birthday to you. And last but certainly not least, Linda Michelle White. Linda Michelle White turning 81 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Linda. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and any of you sharing this birthday on this December 6th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen. You have the dirty workers and the dirty worker employers, the dirty worker bosses. Which one will you choose to be? Which one have you chosen to be? If you have been the employee, what were you getting paid? What was the payment, whether it was money or not? What was in it for you? What would make you show this type of loyalty, this type of dedication to somebody that doesn't seem to be all the way on the level? If you are the employer, if you the boss, what's up with you, son? How come you can't do for self? How come? Why can't you stand on your own two feet and take your bumps and bruises like everybody else does? How come? Why is that? For what reason? What's going on? Why would you have to get somebody else to do your dirty work all the time? Why do you need somebody else to be your mouthpiece? Why do you need somebody else to stand up, represent, and take the brunt and the responsibility of the things for the things that you've done? What's good? What's up with you? Listen, man, I want y'all to have a good day today. You know what I'm saying? I'm on some other shit. Man, with this cat fur all over the place. Got my allergies all in the tail spin. It's all good. So I'd have a great day today, man. You know what I mean? I'm ready for the Eagles to lose again. I hate to say this shit, but, you know, the season is terrible. And they are, too. I want y'all to have a great day, though. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. I will be back with y'all tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Daily Go Get a Business show. This has been the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. If you haven't pressed that like button yet, make sure you hit the like button. If you haven't shared the show yet, make sure you share the show. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, make sure you subscribe to the channel. And I'll holler at y'all later. Y'all have a great one. I don't mean good. Great. So let me get Instagram out of here first. Peace, Instagram. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. I thank y'all. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, mucho. And then we're going to get Blog Talk out of here. Blog Talk, you go bye-bye. Yes, you go bye-bye. Yes, you need to go bye-bye.